The story is told that when St. John the 23rd was the Pope, he was asked, "How many people work in the Vatican?" And the Pope replied, "About half." Now, I can't vouch for that statistic, but certainly by this time in July, the Vatican is on a skeleton staff, lots of long weekends on the Amalfi Coast and in Ischia, and that famous month back home with the parents. But life has changed in the Vatican since then with Pope Francis. He stays home, does not even go to Castel Gandolfo. He's opened that to visitors to look at the gardens, although he did sublet it this week to Pope Benedict. He stays home, or as he did this week, he takes the show on the road. This man is a worker bee. Ecuador, Bolivia, Paraguay will go back home and then write homilies to be given in Cuba and the United States. Certainly a different tone in the Vatican. Now, John the 23rd asked us as Catholics to read the signs of the times and called Vatican II to put us in touch with the modern world. Part of his legacy of reading the signs of the times was writing an encyclical called Pacem in Terris, Peace on Earth, as the world was on the brink of nuclear war. He was reading the signs of the times. Pope Francis invites us to read the signs of the times with his new encyclical on environment called Caring for Our Common Home. Much more here than the Nature Conservancy. It's about integral ecology, about the world and all that dwells in it together. We are not stewards of anything else. We are brothers and sisters of everything else on the world. Biblical prophets read the signs of the times. And Amos, the first reading today, is the first classical prophet whose words got put into the Bible. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Habakkuk, all the rest. But he was the first classical prophet to read the signs of the times. Now, prophets in the Bible are not like the fortune tellers that you meet on the boardwalks from New Jersey to Maryland. They are not psychic readers, like the numerous ones listed on Google for Washington, D.C. Now, I did see a sign, I thought, for one on Florida Avenue near Nora's. Walked there yesterday. The sign now says Long and Foster. But the closest psychic to here is named Crystal on Wisconsin Avenue, across from Restoration Hardware, just down the block from the Genius Bar. Not a biblical prophet. And prophets do not utter predictions, as the seers of our day do on New Year's Day. Prophets interpret today, the signs of the times today, and invest that with God's revelation to decide what ought to be said and done. And that means they're not always popular. Hence the first reading. They wanted to get rid of him. Go back someplace else. This is a sanctuary. Don't do your stuff here. He was talking about two things: listening to God's word and social justice. Take that home. The problem was, if hearers did not listen to God's word, they were rejecting God his very self. And the question of listening then became quite the craft for prophets to preach and for his hearers to really listen to the word of God. Yesterday, the Catholic Church throughout the world celebrated the feast of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict, which means there were saints before Ignatius. Like 1,000 years? But don't tell my boss. Western monasticism The very first word of Benedict's rule is, listen to your master's precepts and attend to them with the ear of your heart. Listening is an affair of the heart. It is not an affair of the auditory nerve solved by Bell Tone or the Costco Ear Company. It's not hearing aids. It's being aided to hear because our heart wants to hear. Or does it want to hear the signs of the times? In 1963, when Pope John XXIII issued Possum and Terrace, his critics called him naive, out of his depth, a meddler in church-state relations. He put up with resistance, but it turns out he was a prophet, and his words made a difference. Pope Francis has been called naive. His words have been spliced and diced and welcomed and not welcomed by lots of folks in this encyclical. It amazed me how a 200-page document could be commented on in an hour. Anyhow. But true listening to the document might be very hard, especially for American Catholics, because all that we have, because the economy and politics and self-discipline are in this document, as well as respect for everything else on this earth. Tough words. Social justice. And yet, the church has met with resistance before and waited it out. When the church condemned slavery, it took a long time before the places where the Confederate flag flew until this week released slaves. And some were brutalized, as you know. But it was prophetic and correct. Or, in the real Selma, in the 60s, religious folks were there at the forefront in terms of civil rights when that was unpopular and not wanted. The church withstood the opposition. So, do we want to listen to the Word of God and then put it into practice in all of its fullness? St. Paul tells us the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts somewhere. Just when you get comfortable with one side, the other side cuts at you. And sometimes that has to happen in life. We need to have in our health the boil lanced. We need to have the operation to get the growth out of ourselves. Or we need to take massive doses of chemotherapy to fight a poison in our system. Sometimes we need a sword and not a butter knife. Is our relationship with the Word of God polite, or is it friendship and welcoming and communion? A senator once said about Washington, D.C., he was here for 18 years, and he said, I have never met more polite people in my life and never met so few friends. Welcome to Washington. Are we polite with the Word of God? Or embrace it as life-giving and life-sustaining, even when it hurts? Because sometimes hurt leads to growth. Amos was a cultic prophet. He prophesied in the sanctuary and offered sacrifice there. We come now to this sacrifice, the one sacrifice that matters, to be pilgrims, to be fed, to receive hope at what the Pope calls a cosmic sacrament, stuff out of the earth, transformed so we can see the cosmos differently. Listening and putting it into practice. I suspect if you ask Pope Francis how many employees work in the Vatican, he would simply shrug his shoulders. I say that because this Pope has a wide-angle lens on the Church, and it's not focused on the Vatican. The encyclical is addressed not just to the Church, but to all men and women of goodwill. He really doesn't care how many people punch a time clock in the Vatican. What he cares about is how many of us who put the time and effort to listen to the Word of God have to put it into practice. It doesn't matter about vacations in the Vatican. It matters about our conversion, listening, and social justice. If that happens, then we'll really be listeners to the Word of God.